not one. Then came the time to actually start meeting here week after week. We put our plans together, and I wondered, would Northwest Nevada welcome Valor Church? They didn't know who we were. We were kind of meeting south of here. Would this neighborhood say, yes, I want this church to be here. Yes, I'm going to try this church out. And then week after week, we would see people fill up empty chairs. And we are now moving to two services because of it. Praise God, not one. But more than that, we see him faithfully show up in these circumstances. But we also are encouraged that his faithfulness shows up through his word. We preached some sermons. We got into the text. We wanted to hear, Lord, what do you have for us? And he gave us this entire theme of being a church that is unstoppable. And every sermon series, every message that I preach was all pointing to this one theme, that God's movement is behind us and that we don't have to fear, because if he's in it, it can't be stopped. And so we started in August with our series called Pillars. And that was God's faithfulness, because he gave us something to stand on. God is very clear about what he wants us to do as a church. He's very clear about what he blesses. And he gave us from his word pillars that everything our church is about is based on, so that we wouldn't drift, but we would stay aligned. He gave us ground to build upon, not one. And then we moved into a series where we started in the book of Joshua, the same book that I read from today. He told us to be strong and then made a road possible to say, hey, I did it for the Israelites. I can do it for you, Valor. And that assurance here to say, hey, I'm going to work through you. See how I did it with the Israelites. I'm going to give you the same strong and courageous spirit that I gave Joshua and the people there. He provided the power and strength that we didn't know that we were going to have, and he gave it. Again, not one. Then we moved into a series in Colossians where we had to learn how to be a church again. You know, we were saying, okay, we changed our name. How do we actually act like a church? How do we have Christian behaviors and ethics? And he proved that change is possible, that sanctification just doesn't happen once. It's ongoing. He says, hey, what I started in you, I will complete. And in the book of Colossians, he said, godliness starts with what I've done for you. Therefore, you behave differently. And so his faithfulness was not, hey, you can be a good person, but my faithfulness starts with when you recognize that I died for you and that you have a new identity. Therefore, you do have the power to be a godly person. Not one. Another promise. And then we moved into an Advent series where we looked at all the promises in Isaiah that foretold the coming Messiah, the quintessential faithfulness, him being fulfilling of what he said he was going to do. We looked back, and then we looked at the story of Advent, and long before the manger, the people of God were waiting for a king. And so again, we were reminded that we have a king that came through a manger, and then we were reminded that we have a king that is coming again one final time for the second advent. Faithfulness, not one. He reminded us again in the new year as we moved into this building that we did a series called Church Unstoppable, where we had to relearn kingdom principles, that we are not just a church that gathers in a building to kind of hear a message and then sing some songs and then go home. No, we're actually part of a movement that God has started, and he wants to work in and through us, that we are actually participants, and to get off the sideline and actually get in the game. And that the promise there of his faithfulness, it just didn't happen in the New Testament in Acts and through the epistles. And when we read that, it just stopped there. No, it's active and moving and ongoing, and he's going to keep working until he returns again. Another promise to say, what I started in the New Testament, I am fulfilling today, and I'm not done. Are you ready, Valor Church? Again, another promise, not one. Then he used another series as we studied the book of Philippians, another wonderful church. He used ordinary, faithful people. That's his promise. He equips the called, okay? He uses those that are weak to lead the strong. That is his promise. And we learn that through Philippians, where Paul was in chains. And then he honored and gave credit to nominal people, people that you would never think of that advanced the movement of the gospel. He even gave credit to chains, imprisonment, to moving the gospel. Again, another promise that we, as much as I like all of you, we are not that impressive. We are beggars. We are needy people. And the promise is God loves using those types of people. And again, not one. Then we started a series on Easter. We walked through 1 Corinthians 15, went through that entire chapter, and we learned that he promised that he's coming again, and then we learned that he guaranteed it, that the cross was final and a final word that I'm coming again, and that we don't have to fear what's on this earth because he's going to be our ultimate judge, our ultimate king. And secondly, we don't have to have ultimate despair when our bodies fail us or when there's mourning or when there's disappointment, because he has promised and he will fulfill that he's going to return and make a new heaven and a new earth, and we will have brand new bodies ready to run any kind of marathon you want. Not one. And then we brought it home. We just finished this series last week called Home. A promise that no matter your family tree, good, bad, somewhere in between, broken, whole, disappointing, or overfilling, we learn that God has a design that if you live and adhere to his design for what happens in the home and happens with your relationships, the probability that your life will be thriving is very high. That is a promise. And we learned that if you do it God's way and you follow him, you will be blessed. So that is what we've walked through. And that's God's promises and his faithfulness. Again, a laundry list of not one time has he failed us in our life or as a church. And the way forward, and why I want us to take account of this, is because we've got some big things before us as a church. Not only unifying as a church and being kingdom-minded as a church, but God's vision for us to be here at Excel Academy is for a season. It's kind of a holding pattern until a bigger vision of building a building out on Highway 72, where we have permanency. And that is going to be difficult. That is going to require faith. There is going to be some uphill to that. Not some, a lot of uphill to that. And we need to remember and look back as we move forward that God didn't let us down then. Why would he let us down now? As we move forward, we are going to have challenges. We are going to have holdups. We are going to have unforeseen things present to us, and we're going to be confronted again, not to worry about what's in front of us, but to remember what happened behind us. That is the testament of a faith-filled church. And what I want to do today is share a couple more things, and I'll land the plane. Might be my shortest sermon ever. Amen. But for us, I want us to get really good at logging things down. What I mean by that is I physically want you to get a journal, a notepad in your phone, and anytime you see God work in your life, log it. Small, big, medium, whatever. Because we need to take account of what he's done. Psalm 103 says, I count all the benefits of what the Lord has done for me. I praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let me not forget all of his benefits. And may we be a people, may we be a disciple that remembers often to have big eyes. And here's what's before us, Valor, what I want us to be ready for and battle against, because we're going to have opposition. On August 1st, we're in the final stages of securing that land. I don't really have a date quite yet, but sometime in August, we hope we will have some really good news and we will unveil more for you about that, okay? And so just hang on. God is faithful. These things take time. God knows the date, but we believe in the next few months we will have some really exciting news for you about our permanent home. And also in August, for sure, I know a date on is August 30th. And I know some of you still have some questions about that. We're here for you. Please reach out if you have questions about two services. But we are moving to two services, not because we just want to do it. We just want a challenge or we want to torture ourselves. It's because we can't fill up this room with any more chairs. You're filling them up. And so we need to accommodate for what God is doing. Praise God. Not one. God is reaching people. And so we have ground coming, and then we have a full room. So we're going to make room for what God is doing. And so what we're seeing all together this August, and as we move forward, the question that Lacey and I asked on our honeymoon 10 years ago, where are all the churches? We believe that that question that we asked is now going to be answered together as Valor Church. Because what I didn't tell you about that story, and some of you know, that question where we asked is in the same area where our permanent home will be. God providentially put those two things together. I didn't seek that out. God laid that in our laps. And he says, the question that you asked 10 years ago, I'm going to fulfill through these people, us together. And so I'm so excited about that. And the pattern is this. God shows up. Time happens, we forget, and then we need to remember and look back because God is faithful even when we don't remember. And so let me turn it to you. We began my time in prayer for you, some of your burdens, some of your hardships. And I think why this journey for us as a church is important is not every church gets to be a part of something like this, to be on the ground level of building something from the ground up. I believe God calls churches like Valor to do things like this for two reasons. One, to be an example for generations later to look back and say, look at the faithfulness of that people. Look at the faithfulness of God's believers in that time to do something great for him, and they're encouraged by it. But secondly, here's what matters more. The gift of what we're being asked is not to see a building be built. That's not the gift. That's cool, but it's not the gift. The gift is that we got to watch God work. That's the gift. That is the supernatural privilege that we get to see. Yes, God works in all things, but in this is an arena where literally we are faced with impossible probabilities every single day. And this is the front row seat. God has chosen you, if you so choose to accept it, to be on the front row seat of seeing him work. And the purpose of why I want to bring this back to you and why this is so much more about Valor Church and it's about the actual people in the church, that you get a front row seat to see God work so that you would have trophies of his grace in your time of need. Because there's going to be a moment when the mortar is laid and the foundation's there, the doors are in, we're in a new building, and we take for granted of what God has done. And you've got some kind of challenge in your life. My prayer is that what you and I have seen on the front row of God's faithfulness and his fulfillment would be a trophy of his grace for your life. Because there's going to be a moment where you're saying, God, are you done being good? Have you run out of your goodness and your faithfulness and your compassion and your provision? Maybe it's out. We have scarcity mindsets as humans. But what I'm saying to you, this journey that we're about to walk on, church, is for you to never forget his goodness, not just for our church, but for your personal life. When the blood work comes back and it's not good, when you don't know if the check is going to clear, you don't know how this relationship's going to be restored, because you said some things that you just, I don't know if I can, I want to take them back, but the damage is done. You're going to be faced with moments like that, and you're in them now, that are going to call upon you to look back at what God has already done to give you the faith and the strength to keep on and to trust him. Because in those moments, we can't tell the future. We can't predict what's happening. The only possible time travel that we have is looking back. And so, church, what we're about to do is for you. It's for you to see front row, God is faithful. And it was for the people of Israel. Do you think it was just for the collective? No. These were individuals that made up a big group of people. And if you look at David and you look at these individual stories, when they were afflicted and when they had hardships, they looked back at the bigger story of what God did for the people to help them get through their mess. And the same is true for us. And so let me just remind you, his promises, he is going to fulfill them. And for you right now, let me just speak words of life over you that are straight from his mouth. His promises to you when fear and anxiety have their grip on you. He says this in Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous hand." Not one. When you are weary, you're burned out, you're running on empty, Jesus said this to his people. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest, and you will find rest for your souls." Not one. And when you are staring at a bill that you cannot cover, is this check going to clear? "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Not one. When your heart is shattered by grief or loss, this is what he says. "The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those who have crushed spirits." Not one. When you are abandoned and you feel utterly alone, this is what he says. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor abandon you." Not one. And for all of us, we share this in common. The greatest promise fulfilled that holds all the others together. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not one. This is the promise that holds them all together. This is what gathers us today, is the fact that we have given our lives to Jesus in exchange for that eternal salvation, complete forgiveness, a new life, a new desire, and ultimately a new home in heaven. And if we can trust him to do that, we can trust him with everything else, right? And so, as we continue in this spirit of worship, the act of communion is the greatest remembrance. I believe this discipline of remembering is part of the Christian life. This is what he told his disciples. It was an act of remembrance, because we will be forgetful people. And so the greatest thing that we need to remember is his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he's coming again soon. So grab the elements. If you are a believer in Christ, if you've made a profession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us. We partake in open communion. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, we kindly ask you not to do this. But if you will, let's remember the body that was broken for us. We also remember the great lengths, Lord, that you went to save us. You were tortured, you were beaten, you were mocked, you were scorned, you bled for your people. We remember the sacrifice. We do that by remembering his blood poured out for us. If you would, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never made a profession of faith, and you're here today and you're saying, I want that kind of faith, that kind of assurance that God's going to show up for me. Well, the first step of that is confessing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You need to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I confess to you, I've walked my own way. And it's time that I live in your way. And so today, if you've never professed faith in Jesus, it's simple. You can repeat after me under your breath or in your heart. Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner in need of your grace. And I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you were buried and that 3 days later you rose from the grave. And today I believe that with all of my heart. If you pray that today, I just want you to know that the greatest promise that Jesus has made is now going to be delivered to you and fulfilled when you breathe your last breath and you see him face to face. That is the greatest promise that you will ever receive and hear from him, that you will be saved if you confess that. Lord Jesus, I pray for every heart in this room that is burdened, that is troubled, that has cares. I pray, Lord, that they don't focus too much on the future, but they would be really diligent on the past. Your past faithfulness, your past goodness, your past grace, so that they can be present for the now. Lord Jesus, help us to be a church that does that. Great things ahead. Lord Jesus, prepare us to be disciplined, to never forget your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray.